5 points for anger, how algorithms learn to sell us the worst of each other. Let me start with something I've noticed about my own behavior, because it's a little embarrassing, and I suspect I'm not alone. When I post something on LinkedIn, a nice project, a bit of genuine enthusiasm about some technology I love, it does fine, politely fine. But every now and then, I've watched someone post something spiky, a complaint, a bit of outrage, can you believe this? And it takes off like a rocket. More comments, more shares, more heat in an afternoon than my sunny little posts get in a week. For a long time, I filed that under people are just like that, and they are. We spent the last 3 articles establishing exactly how they are, wired by evolution to lean toward the negative. But there's a newer, sharper part of the story that I've been genuinely itching to understand. And it's the one thing that made me want to build Positron more than anything else. Because our old human negativity bias is one thing. What happens when you hand that bias to a machine whose entire job is to maximize your attention? That's something else entirely. So this is the article about the machines. First, the machines really do prefer bad news. Let's establish the basic fact before we get to the how and why, because it's been measured beautifully. In 2023, a team led by Claire Robertson published a study in Nature Human Behavior with the wonderfully blunt title, Negativity Drives Online News Consumption. They had access to something close to a researcher's dream, data from Upworthy, which for years ran endless A/B tests on its own headlines. The same story, different words, shown to real people. Around 105,000 headline variations, something like 5.7 million clicks, real behavior at enormous scale. The finding was clean and a little damning. For a headline of average length, every single additional negative word raised the click-through rate by about 2.3%. And positive words did the opposite. They pushed clicks down. The kicker is that positive words were actually slightly more common to begin with. It's not that the world only offers bad headlines. It's that the bad ones win the click over and over in a way you can measure to the decimal point. That's the raw material. Now watch what happens when an algorithm gets hold of it. What actually spreads? 2 more studies, to my mind, crack this open. The first is from William Brady, Jay Van Bevel, and colleagues in 2017, and it introduced a phrase I find myself using all the time now, moral contagion. They looked at more than 500,000 tweets about hot moral political topics, gun control, same-sex marriage, climate change, and found that every additional moral emotional word in a message, words like attack, shame, greed, evil, increased how far it spread by around 20%. But here's the twist that matters. That spread happened mostly within ideological groups, not across them. Outrage traveled fast, but it traveled in circles, deepening the divide rather than crossing it. The second study takes it one step further, and it's the one that really lands for me. In 2021, Steve Rathier, Van Bavel, and Sander van der Linden looked at 2.7 million posts from news outlets and politicians and asked a simple question. What content spreads furthest? The answer wasn't joy. It wasn't even in-group pride or praise. The single strongest predictor of a post being shared was out-group animosity. Posts about the other side, the people you disagree with. Talking about your political opponents beat every other factor they measured, including plain old emotional language. Nothing spreads like contempt for them. Sit with that for a second. The most shareable thing online is not something good. It is not even something sad. It is anger at the outgroup. That's the shape of the raw demand. And the algorithms went looking for exactly that shape. The smoking gun, 5 points for anger. Here's where it stops being abstract, because for once, we don't have to guess what a platform was optimizing for. We have the documents. In 2021, the whistleblower, Francis Haugen, released a trove of internal Facebook material, And among the things reported by the Washington Post was a small, revealing detail about how the newsfeed was ranked. When Facebook rolled out those emoji reactions, love, ha ha ha, wow, sad, angry, it decided, starting in 2017, to treat any emoji reaction as worth 5 times more than a humble like in its ranking algorithm. 5 points for a reaction, 1 for a like. Think about what that quietly does. A like is what you give to something nice, but you don't tap angry on a puppy photo. You tap it on the thing that outrages you. By weighting reactions 5 times heavier, Facebook was, in effect, turning up the volume on exactly the content most likely to make people furious. And their own data, a couple of years later, confirmed the obvious. Posts that drew a lot of angry reactions were disproportionately likely to contain misinformation, toxicity, and low-quality news. Staff had flagged the risk from the start. The company eventually walked it back, downgrading the weighting, then demoting posts that drew disproportionate anger, and by 2020, cutting the angry reactions value all the way to zero. But for years, the machine ran hot. It didn't set out to make the world angrier. It set out to maximize engagement. And it turns out those two things are, disturbingly, almost the same thing. Let me be fair about this. Now, I promised myself when I started writing these that I wouldn't overclaim, so let me put some honest caveats on the table. First, most of this is correlation, and correlation is slippery. Showing that angry, negative, out-group content spreads further is not the same as proving the algorithm caused us to become angrier people. Some of it is surely just the algorithm holding up a mirror to what we were already reaching for. The negativity bias from the earlier articles, now simply reflected back at industrial speed. Untangling the machine made us like this, from the machine gave us more of what we already liked, is genuinely hard, and serious researchers still argue about the balance. Second, science self-corrects, and some of these effects look smaller or more conditional under replication than the striking headline numbers suggest. The direction of the findings is robust and repeated. The exact magnitudes deserve humility. But even with all those caveats, the shape of the thing is clear enough. Our brains lean negative. The content that spreads is negative, moralized, and aimed at the other side. And the platforms, chasing engagement, built machinery that, deliberately or not, amplified precisely that. Human bias went in one end, an outrage machine came out the other, which is the whole reason for the opposite. And this, finally, is why Positron is built the way it is, and why the How It Works page might be the most important thing on the site. There is no algorithm on Positron optimizing for your engagement, because there is nothing to optimize for. No ads, no feed ranking, no reaction buttons quietly scoring your rage. It doesn't earn a cent whether you're calm or furious, so it has no reason to reach for the thing that makes you furious. It is, on purpose, the exact opposite of the outrage machine. A small, deliberately unoptimized corner of the internet where the only thing sorting the news is this actually good? That won't fix the machines. I'm one Belgian with a website. I have no illusions. But it can be a place to stand that isn't inside the machine. And honestly, some days that feels like enough. In the final article of this series, I want to look at what all of this, the bias, the dread, the outrage machine, actually does to us. Because it turns out the research on that is pretty stark. And the research on what a better news diet can do instead is genuinely hopeful. Cheers, Rick.